Hey there, I'm Sandy Scarlatta, and welcome to the Happiness Solve podcast. Twice a week, we explore the journey to finding true happiness by sharing inspiring stories, practical tips, and insightful conversations with some of today's leading experts. But we don't just scratch the surface. We dive deep into the real grit of what it takes to live a genuinely happy life. Whether you're looking to improve your well-being, enhance your relationships, or simply add more joy to your life, you're in the right place. So grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, and let's dive into today's episode. Because happiness is a choice, and the choice is yours. Monica, it's such a pleasure to see you today. How's everything going, besides technology issues?
Technology was playing a trick on us, but thankfully we are here together and we can share.
That's right. I know, right? It works until it doesn't. That's the beautiful thing about it. All right. So for the audience, Monica is an advocate for inner peace and consciousness, which I love this topic. And you're the author of 9 books, bestseller in Spain and Latin America. And gosh, you've been a TEDx speaker twice. You've just done some amazing things. So it's such a pleasure to have you here today. Before we dive into inner peace and consciousness, which is one of my favorite topics, tell us about your story and how you got to where you are today.
Well, I was trained as an economist, and I was working in Paris for a while, for a few years, for an international business school. And having said that, I was born spiritual. So I was really not fulfilled, although I have a very good life in terms of material life. I was living in one of the best neighborhoods in Paris. I had a good husband, good holidays, a beautiful house, you know, like everything most people dream of. But I was not fulfilled. So I went to do some research to the north of India, the feet of the Himalayas, about the pledge of and the problem of Tibetans in exile, because there is a settlement over there. And I was going to stay there for 3 weeks, and I ended up staying for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
So I started having teachings with the Dalai Lama, with studying with the lamas there. And when I went back home, which was in Paris at the time, I realized I could not go on with my life, with my former life. And I realized I wanted to be of benefit to the world. And I felt I wasn't being that. So I left everything. I left my house. I left my husband. I left my job. I left my plans. I left my money. I left everything. And I really started a new career and a new path. I didn't know how I was going to earn a living, but I knew how I was not going to waste my life. So I decided to keep studying with them. I will go for 10 years. I have been going for once a year for 2 or 3 months every year back to Nepal and India to study with Tibetan lamas. And at the same time, I got trained in psychology and other branches of psychology in the Western world, mainly in the US. And then I started this doing transformational coaching, teaching at companies, guiding retreats, and so many other things that I never thought I was going to do.
How did you find that inner strength to... Because it's hard, and I've been there too. And for me it was just being in a long-term marriage, and I walked away. I found my own spiritual path here, you know, because I had a child and everything, so I couldn't like go off for a few months. Although now I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. I would love to just like say I'm leaving for 3 weeks and be gone for 3 months. I would love that. It sounds absolutely delightful. So I know how hard that is, because I know for me, it was like jumping off a cliff and praying that my wings would work, right?
Absolutely.
But I was in a very different situation because I didn't have, at that time, I didn't have that strong spiritual connection that you obviously found through this community, right? To have that support. So is that what helped you, or do you really feel like it was something just from within?
I actually didn't have a real support from them. I just got the teachings,
Just the teachings, the
yes,
knowledge.
the knowledge exactly, and the practices, how to
Yeah.
find inner peace, how to train my mind, how to train my heart, and a sort of a map of how to walk upwards towards enlightenment. But I think for me, it was the connection with the spirituality, with the spirit, with my soul, and I was born with it. It's just that it's very difficult, as you were saying, to be able to find your own way and commit to it, because everything else and everybody else is doing something different and will tell you, okay, this is too difficult. Don't even try. Just try to comply and be like everyone else. And where's the problem? You have everything that you wish, materially speaking. So what's your problem? And the problem is, okay, I don't feel at peace. I'm not doing what I came to do to this life. So it was like an inner calling saying, okay, don't waste your life. You don't know how long you're going to have on this earth. So just you may as well make the best of it. And I don't want to have regrets when I leave this body, when I transition to the other side. I don't want to look backwards and say, okay, I wish I'd have done that. I wanted to live my life without regrets. And I think that was part of my strength.
Hey everyone, today I'm thrilled to share something truly special with you. Have you ever felt like you're just scratching the surface of your potential? Or maybe you're looking for ways to bring more balance and fulfillment into your life? If that resonates with you, then I have an event you won't want to miss. Introducing the Holistic Life Mastery event, live and in person, November 7th through 9th at the beautiful La Quinta Hotel outside of Palm Springs, California. This isn't just another seminar. It's a transformative experience designed to help you unlock your full potential, cultivate a holistic approach to life, and achieve mastery in every area that matters to you. Imagine spending 2.5 days surrounded by like-minded individuals, all committed to personal growth and conscious living. You'll have the opportunity to learn from world-renowned speakers, engage in powerful workshops, and gain practical tools that you can apply immediately to your life. Plus, our keynote speaker is Emmy Award-winning producer, actor, and author of The Way of the Cobra, Sean Kanan. You may have seen him in the number one Netflix series, Cobra Kai. Whether you're looking to enhance your personal well-being, improve your professional skills, or find more joy and purpose, the Holistic Life Mastery event has something for everyone. Our speakers are leaders in their fields, covering topics from peak performance and mindfulness to business psychology to relationships. And the best part, this event is designed to cater to all aspects of your life. It's about creating holistic balance, mind, body, and spirit. You'll leave feeling inspired, empowered, and ready to take on the world with a renewed sense of purpose with a plan of action. So mark your calendars and join us for an unforgettable experience. You'll find the registration link in the show notes. Don't wait. Spaces are limited and filling up fast. Remember, this is your chance to invest in yourself and your future. The Holistic Life Mastery event is more than just a workshop. It's a stepping stone to the life you've always dreamed of. I love it. And it's still very, very difficult to actually take that leap of faith. So you talked a lot about them giving you a blueprint. What and we'll get back to that in a second, but what was that like? Because I've heard people, I've never talked on my show with somebody about what that's actually like studying in Tibet, in Nepal. What is that like on a day-to-day basis? I mean, are you sitting there meditating all day? I mean, my closest experience, you know, I did like a weekend meditation retreat and we sat in meditation for 5 hours and I'm like, and had a day of silence. And I'm like, oh, this is incredible, right? Because when you do that, it just activates so much in your brain. So what was that like for you for 3 weeks? And then the difference between 3 weeks and 3 months?
Well, sometimes I will do a retreat for a month. So we were kind of isolated in our own thing. So you really go deep inside and it's all in silence. And you just have teachings for a couple of hours per day. And the rest is just going inside with meditations and also walking meditations and and studying. So for me, was life-changing, not because I learned something that I was not in my heart, but because I listened to my heart. And I felt this was already within me. It was just my core, my essence. So it was really connecting with who I really am. And they didn't provide a special, I don't know, environment for you to do it. Yes, when you were doing the 1 month retreat, you are in a special environment. But the rest, I will just stay in a guest house and I will have a very simple life. So what I did is I tried to focus all my mind and time into my spiritual progress. So studying, practicing, that was my main focus. And of course, sometimes it was difficult to go back to the Western world of chaos and all the rest. But my aim was not to become one of them. I wasn't to be, my aim was not at all to become a nun or live there forever. It was just to learn what I have to learn from them and then take it here and practice it here and teach it here somehow, you know, first integrated myself, embody it as much as I could. And then when it was the right timing, then I will start teaching. Because at the end of the day, we have in the Western world, we have a different life. We have a different mindset. So we have to translate that to the modern world. And I think that's what is more difficult because people here are completely distracted, carried away by all social media, by mainstream media, by all the activities and responsibilities that we have. And sometimes it's very frustrating and you think, okay, I cannot have a spiritual life here. Yes, you can. We just have to translate it to our lives here. And I think, I guess it's a little bit my role. I feel a little bit a bridge between the East and the West.
Yeah, sounds like it. So the integration of coming back from being with all of these, you know, amazing spiritual thinkers and coming back to the Western civilization, how was that for you to really integrate? And because you brought up the word frustrating a couple of times. That's what was so hard for me going from my comfortable life. I was a stay-at-home mom, and that's when I was coaching and speaking. So I had my whole coaching business at the time, but it was very much, you know, easy peasy. I wasn't dealing, you know, sitting in traffic jams every day. And that was really hard to like leave that easy life. And all of a sudden I'm in the rat race. That transition was extremely difficult. And I do have to say, it probably took me a few years just to feel centered again after going through that type of transition. How was it for you?
It was not easy because I had left a comfortable life behind and I had to start from scratch. I had been living abroad for a long time, so I didn't have contacts. I didn't even almost have friends. So I had to start from scratch. I had no support whatsoever. And I only have the support of my parents, but that was it. And I didn't know how I was going to be of help to others. And I didn't know if it was going to work out. So when you are in the East, it's different because you need very little. You know, you just have a very simple life. Life is cheap over there. And if you don't need much, well, you don't spend much money. But then you come here and everything is expensive. And and you need to make a living somehow. And you don't know if you know, some people ask you, okay, are you sure you are going to make it here in you know, in your new career and job, or it's not even a job, but it's a mission, a calling, whatever. And you don't know. You can, you know, you have nothing that will confirm that you will make it. But at the same time, you need to follow that inner guidance that tells you, okay, you are on the right track. Just continue and do the things that are helpful to you, that are beneficial to you, and then someday you will be able to benefit others. So what I did is I did a lot of volunteering jobs. You know, I volunteer at the hospital with children with cancer. I spent 6 months in Africa volunteering in an orphanage and a school. I also took some training to be able to volunteer with in hospice with people dying. So what I did is, okay, be true to your word. You know, if you are here to help others, don't wait for it to work out. Just help, you know, do something about it. So that was the way I started, and well, I guess it worked out for me in the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, obviously. So you talked about getting a blueprint. I wanted to circle back to that. You talked about that they gave you a blueprint. What does that blueprint look like? Is it like daily rituals? Is it certain mantras? Like, what does that look like for you?
I think the main thing was compassion, you know, to really work on your compassion. In other lineages of Buddhism, they call it metta, which is loving kindness. So I really liked that. I really connected with that when I was with the Tibetan lamas, because for them it's a big thing. Is it like, okay, do everything you do for the sake of others. Always try to make others happy. And it doesn't mean that you don't have to make yourself happy. It's like you are one of them. You're just part of it. But we are all in the same boat. And I think that focus on trying to be of benefit, of trying to do things that you can contribute to the world, makes a whole difference, because we are in a society that is obsessed with oneself. And yeah, it's all about me and my things. And then I don't have the time to think about others. And it changes your mindset completely. You know, it's like you look at life from a different vantage point. And when you don't get so obsessed with your own happiness, somehow you are much more happy. So I think that's the way to go. It's like working on your unconditional love in terms that we can all understand. You know, it's like work on the unconditional love towards everyone, radiate that to everyone. And that takes a lot of practice, you know. Of course, we have that innate in us, but at the same time, it's not enough. We have to practice. So you do it with meditation and you do it with everyday life. You know, you wake up in the morning, and I wake up in the morning and it's like first thing I say and I pray is, okay, may my thoughts, my words and my actions today be aligned for the benefit of all. So it's always thinking about that, you know, taking that into account with everything you do. And that makes life so much easier, because you don't go into conflict with people. What for, you know? You just don't resist whatever is happening, because it's okay, it's happening already. You know, whether I accept it or not makes no difference whatsoever. So you live much more peacefully as well.
Yeah, and it made me think of, I was actually having a conversation with my husband this morning. I mean, are you in the United States?
I am in Spain right now.
You're in Spain. That's what I thought. So we had a big election.
Yes, yesterday. I know.
Went to bed, not knowing, woke up, had a new president. I'm like, oh, okay. And we started having this conversation, because my husband is not spiritual. He's a computer scientist, you know, computer engineer. So he's very science, but I love science fiction. So we love to talk about those types of things as well. But I was talking about how, whether you're talking about God, Buddha, Allah, Jesus, the universe, whatever it is, mm-hmm, everything is neutral. right? And we as humans put meaning on to every single thing. You know, especially when we're triggered, when there's a trigger, you know. And I was having to ex I, we had this whole long conversation, which was beautiful because I can't keep his focus for that long when I'm talking about personal development, because he's like, you know, whatever. But I was like, you know, if you can just get to a point where you can look at situations as being neutral, because that's how the universe, God, Buddha, Allah, Jesus, you know, whoever, that's what it is. Everything is neutral. Everything is a place of neutrality, but it's so much easier said than done, right?
I will even go further than that. I think the universe is loving. It's
Oh,
more than
absolutely.
neutral. It's
Yeah.
loving. So I think in the long run, everything works for our benefit. It's just
Yes.
that we have to hold that in our minds. And of course, in the short term, sometimes it doesn't look like that, but every single negative thing can be turned into a positive one. There's always a
Yes.
silver lining in everything. There's always an opportunity for you to work on something. So if you keep that outlook of life, on life, then everything works out for the best. And then instead of resisting, instead of fighting against what you don't like, which is a total waste of time and energy. And then you get so emotional and then you don't see anything clear anymore.
Right.
Instead of that, it's like, okay, remain neutral and see what you can learn from this experience. Because everything that happens to us is an opportunity for growth.
Right.
So instead of fighting and struggling and just yelling internally or outside, you know, about things that you don't like, of course, things sometimes are unpleasant and sometimes things are uncomfortable, but you make suffering out of it if you resist it. And then sometimes, you know, when that happens, it's okay, it's happening already. I cannot do anything about it. What do I do with this? Because this is already happening.
Yeah.
And life is so much easier then.
It is. It is for sure. And when it doesn't affect you personally, I think it's a little bit easier
Of course.
to look at it from neutrality. And what I was discussing with my husband this morning was when we're triggered by maybe something that happened from our childhood, right? Because all triggers that we have as adults, it's something that usually happened as a child or young adult or whatever, and it triggers something inside of us. And because we never dealt with it then, because we didn't know how, right? We didn't
Right.
understand it maybe, or we didn't know how to deal with it. Nobody, your parents probably didn't understand that you were going through something. They didn't know, right? So it's nobody's fault. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
But when we're triggered like that is when it's really hard to look at it with neutrality. And being able to just stop for a second and pause before reacting. And that's
Absolutely.
that part right there, that space between the trigger, the stop, the pause, and the reaction. That's the sweet spot right there. That
Yes.
is so difficult.
Well, this is the
Yeah.
when
Any ideas? Any ideas?
also, well, this is what they call the amygdala, the hijack of the amygdala, you know, in brain and neuroscience. And it means that this is when something triggers you, and then you don't, the whole brain is hijacked by the amygdala. And what that happens is the
Right.
amygdala thinks there is a big threat of your life. You know, it's like there's a big danger. So you start being in fight or flight mode. And there, right there, you cannot reflect anymore. You cannot think. You don't
Right.
have access to that. So I think the best thing for that, when on those occasions, I will say, first of all, be aware of what is happening to you. So just don't say anything. Don't do anything because you are going to make a mistake. You are going to regret that later. So it's like, don't say anything. Don't do anything. Go for a walk, take a coffee, whatever. Just leave the place and let the time go by so the information goes to your prefrontal cortex, so you can think, you can reflect, and then you will see things with clarity, but not before. At that time, you are hijacked, completely hijacked. You cannot see anything. And for that, I think meditation is very, very helpful, because it helps you being able to put the brakes on before you have a knee-jerk reaction and you say things that you will regret. Yeah. So meditation and awareness, I think they are the two most powerful tools at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's so easy to fall into that victim mentality, right? And when you're in that victim mentality, it's really hard to see that this is happening for you, not to you.
Right. Right. That's why the inner work and the spiritual work is so useful, because otherwise we get dragged and lied to by our egoic mind. You know, the ego is never interested in your best long-term consequences. It just wants the pleasure instantaneously. And that's why people just fall into so many things that are damaging for their health, for their mind, for their heart, for their lives, because it's like, okay, who cares about the future? Right here, right now, I don't want to do this. You know, I don't feel like it. And then you're like, oh my God, look at, you know, you had a drink when you shouldn't have a drink. You have this piece of cake when you shouldn't have the piece of cake. And whatever, you know, you say things because you feel like saying them, and then it damages the relationship. In so many instances, if we let the ego take charge of our life, we are going to be suffering a lot.
Well, because the ego, at some point, because the ego is also tied to that DNA fight or flight, right? It thinks it's protecting us.
Right.
Right. I really believe that it thinks it's doing its job,
right?
And it's not, right?
It's the thing is, the ego wants to be the one in charge of your life. It's like the CEO. Somehow we have promoted the ego to the CEO of our company, and right. The ego only is the director of security. When security is breached, you know, that's the
I
only
love
way.
It.
Yes, that's the only moment when it's useful. You know, when I'm really in danger, then okay, I need you. You know, okay, I need your services. But at all times, you should be in a corner, quiet, and like, okay, this is not your role. Don't say anything, because I'm not going to listen to you.
I actually gave mine a name. It has a name, and I tell it to get in the back seat, put the seatbelt on, and shut up because I'm driving.
That's a very good idea.
I'm like, you are not driving today. It's me.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
It's always our higher self. We have to just give that power to our higher self, to our soul, to the most evolved part of ourselves, because that's the one that should be in charge at all times.
Yeah, and if we just stop and look within, like you were saying, if you stop, take a deep breath, meditate, take a walk without distractions, that is when your heart will be more open to giving you that answer that you're looking for.
Absolutely.
And the clarity. Yeah.
Exactly. Because when we are distracted, when we are stressed, when we are just going through the motions of life without thinking, without reflecting, without going inside, without contemplating, then we don't know what we are doing anymore. We're just like automats, you know? It's just, so that's why we are so easily manipulated, because we don't think for ourselves, because we are not connected with the inner voice that will guide us to the best place that we need to go. And I think this is something we need to work on. It's like, okay, connect with your inner voice. You have your own master inside. You have your own guidance. Listen to it. Take the time to listen to it. And then you will never be lost and you will never feel alone.
Excellent point. Ditto there. I believe, I know here in the United States anyway, we're not teaching in the public schools how to critically think. And they get, you know, if a child goes to college, you know, they definitely have more opportunities to work on their critical thinking there. But I think that's really the biggest problem of all. We're teaching children to memorize and regurgitate information, and they're not actually thinking about it for themselves. And,
yes.
And if they're doing that with education, that's how we learn, right? Because our first examples of learning were work on your ABCs or count to 10, right?
Absolutely. And on top of that, we are not given the opportunity to listen to our inner guidance, because it's like, okay, you need to obey. You need to comply with whoever the authority or the expert is. And it's like, why would I know more about my mind, my body, and my life than me? I am the expert in myself. Why should I do something that they are asking me to do or they are obliging me to do, you know? I think this is something that has been engineered as well from a very early age. And I really think it's very damaging to people's lives.
Yeah. And then on top of it, nowadays we've got social media that is influencing people. And
mainstream media, you know, mainstream media is a narrative that someone in power is just giving. So it's not free. It's just one narrative that is given from, you know, BlackRock and Vanguard and all the hedge funds, which are the ones owning the banks, the companies and everything. So in the end, it's like, let me just be, you know, let me just be.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, this has been such an amazing conversation, Monica. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience that we haven't talked about?
I think that we have left some topics to think about, you know?
Yeah.
It's best not to give too much, because I think there's enough to go in depth into some of those topics. And I think we have a lot of thinking to do, a lot of reflecting, and a lot of contemplation to do, because that's the only way to move forward. Otherwise, we're stuck in the same place. And we live the same day, I don't know how many times. So if we want to progress, to make some progress in life, we really need to take stock of our lives, reflect, be in nature, contemplate, meditate, and connect with that inner voice that will tell you what to do, what your next step should be. Don't listen to anyone else. No, don't listen to anyone else. You know inside of you.
Well, and here's the thing, folks, and I say this all the time, it's a choice.
Exactly.
It's a choice, and you have to practice it. You can't just do it one day and think that everything's going to be peachy. You know, it's a lifelong practice. I've been on this journey for over 35 years now. I keep hoping I'd be done, but that's not going to happen.
Well, right? The Dalai Lama is one of the things that he used to say to us is like, okay, getting enlightened will take eons of time. But I think this is one of the teachings, is like, once you hear about enlightenment, it means that you are already on the path. And I think this is very encouraging. So let's just stay with that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think that's probably, you know, because I always say happiness is a journey, not a destination. And it's the same thing about enlightenment. Enlightenment is a journey, and it's not a destination, because I don't know if we've had anybody that reached that full enlightenment. I mean, there's claims.
I think we will, but I think every step on the path counts. And then the good thing is, like, it's like a ladder in evolution. Every step up makes you feel better, you know, internally, emotionally, mentally, and you have a better life. So I think this is already encouraging enough.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love your energy, Monica. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And thank you so much for being here today. I'm really grateful.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam. It was a pleasure.
And thank you, everyone, for listening, and take care.